You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Live from Austin, Texas, it's Alex Jones.
So we have to look at what happened to Charlie Kirk back in September last year in the context 7 months ago, or whatever it is, of what's happening now. And we have Joe Kent, which already had other sources, not him, about that meeting saying don't look at foreign involvement or domestic leads. And I talked to TPUSA high level, and they said, yeah, we talked to them. I don't think they're involved at that level because they were very open with me. They're like, yeah, we Patel's like, oh, well, they might have been involved. We can't prove it, so we're not going to prosecute them. So we already have it confirmed. They're saying they'll look at other people. Then you have the ATF saying it's non-conclusive. That's a very corrupt agency. I'm surprised they didn't cover it up. Who knows what's going on now? Then I want to ask both of our guests, just in general, about the war, Iran, all the mixed signals that are going on, what the military community is telling them. It's crazy. Let's go back to Nate Kornacki of Valhalla VFT before we go back to Gary Melton of Paramount Tactical. And just putting bookends on, take as long as you need, on Kirk, where this should go, what you think, and what you think of Joe Kent saying he'll testify. And they're saying, oh, he's a traitor. He's going to let the guilty guy go. I think it's reasonable if he's in a meeting and they order us to cover up connections. I think Tyler Robinson thinks he was involved. But I mean, I'm saying trannies are a real threat and they're supporters. I mean, I don't know what happened here, but at the end of the day, where do you think all this is going? There's a lot of questions there, obviously. But just in general, Joe Kent coming out saying, no, there was a cover-up here.
Well, I mean, I'll say up front, Joe Kent is extremely, extremely respected in our community. His resume is insane. For me, I'm going to trust if he comes out and said that's what happened. And again, it was a huge story back when it happened. And it's not the only, it's not just Joe Kent, the National Counterterrorism Center. We also had Mike Glover, another fellow Green Beret, come out and say one of his high up sources and friends in the CIA also told him the CIA was also blocked from investigating foreign involvement into this at the same time Joe Kent, Tulsi Gabbard, and the National Counterterrorism Center is. So the first thing that needs to happen is Kash Patel needs to be drug in, subpoenaed, and questioned for why this happened. If this is true, which I'm going to assume it is because people that I respect and trust have, from different sources have said this is true and happened, we need answers on that. Why would the FBI have shut down other intelligence apparatuses from wanting to look into foreign involvement? It seems like that's what you would want to know. Whether it doesn't matter what country it was, China, Russia, Israel, Iran, I don't care. I'd want us to know if there was foreign involvement in the assassination of an American citizen on our soil, right? We would want to know that. So first thing that's got to happen, Kash Patel needs to be drug in, subpoenaed, and questioned for why that took place. Why that took place? I don't know. It could be something as simple as Kash Patel wanted all the credit for himself. It could be something as nefarious as a full FBI cover-up on this. I don't know. It's all conjecture on my part at this point. But as for Joe Kent being willing to testify, yeah, if he's willing to testify that he believes that, then, you know, I think that's a credible source. And also, another thing I think is interesting, and this is not, I'm not still willing to say who did it, right? I've never thought it was TPUSA personally. I did an entire episode, 30-minute episode on the security team and broke down why I don't think they were involved. I think they're just incompetent. But I do believe there was a foreign involvement. And what really, really is making me suspicious right now is the fact that it's the new war in Iran. And then we look back at Charlie's actual ideology on war with Iran. He was incredibly anti-war in Iran. I've shown 15 different clips of that. So much so that he went in and tried to get Donald Trump to stop the first 12-day war. Joe Kent even confirmed that in the Oval Office together. It's very, very suspicious to me that Charlie was killed and everyone else who has vocally gone and to Trump to try to get him to stop the wars in Iran. Tucker Carlson was immediately smeared. They try to run him as a foreign agent through Iran. Joe Kent comes out in resistance to this, immediately smear campaign. So I'm starting to wonder why every single person who has a big voice that comes out against the war in Iran is sort of trying to be, you know, censored, deplatformed, or, you know, disappearing completely. I think it's getting very, very suspicious to me because obviously this war is super, super unpopular with the American people. And honestly, with Charlie Kirk, you can't deny Charlie Kirk. If Charlie Kirk was vocally against this war right now, it would be a massive, massive problem.
Oh, he called me a couple times, but once, keep pressure on Epstein, good job. Keep pressure on Iran, we got to stop this, which he was right. And now Joe Kent said he told him that in the Oval Office. And then Mark Levin says he's a liar. Bongino says he's a liar with no proof. They were there. I told people they were at the meetings. So what is your response, Gary Melton, overall? What do you think is happening here?
Yeah, look, I'm completely open to the idea that there's foreign influence. As a matter of fact, when you look at the SLC Trans Gun Club, the leader of that is an Iranian trans person that was definitely pushing a lot of violent rhetoric, to say the least. Now, they are reporting that is being investigated. There's multiple reports on that. Look, I got a different take on the war, and I got a different take on Joe Kent personally. But look, I want all of this stuff investigated. What I don't like is this idea that people are intentionally, in my perspective, intentionally trying to say that Tyler Robinson didn't do this. I think there is so much overwhelming evidence that says that Tyler Robinson is the killer. Outside of that, I agree with a lot of people. Like, I think Lance Twiggs was involved for sure. I think we definitely need to look into the different ties to trans activists in the area. We have social media posts that are actually going and predicting Charlie's death. That hasn't been looked into. At least it may be being looked into by the FBI. I don't know, or Utah. But what I can tell you is, what I see time and time again, this is something that we've all talked about going back to December, is that there does seem to be a psyop. It's like, hey, don't pay attention to this. I want you to pay attention to Egyptian planes, to Mitch Snow, to this plan down in Fort Huachuca. And none of that makes sense to me. And, you know, we've debunked a lot of those things. But the idea to me that Lance, the Tyler Robinson didn't take the shot, I think that's hard for me to reconcile. I am curious, just off the top of your head, Nate, you know, you said that you felt this was a sophisticated conspiracy. And what I can't reconcile with that is like, okay, we have this very sophisticated conspiracy. Let's say the U.S. military, Israel's involved, the French Foreign Legion, whoever's involved, and they plan this down to a T. And it's so sophisticated and so successful that they get away, that they pull off the hit. They get away. And like the one thing that they screw up is, oh, we shot them with .22 or whatever. We shot them with a different caliber, but we pinned the Patsy with a .30-06. That's the thing that I can't reconcile and doesn't make sense to me. I just don't think that even if you and I were planning this operation, like we wouldn't miss that detail. That's kind of a doozy.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying there, but as for this high-level sophisticated, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's professional involvement. Professional involvement could be one Mossad operative. One Mossad operative that runs this and helps Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs set all this up. And again, I'm not staking my claim that there is a second shooter. My thing is, again, the .30-06 doesn't make sense. Could you say, and I've never seen Tyler Robinson with the .30-06, not going to the roof, not leaving, right? So, if you could it be Tyler Robinson plants that gun? Is he super sophisticated? He plants that gun somewhere else and uses a collapsed AR-15 in his backpack that we saw him go to the roof with, takes a shot there. Sure, I don't know. I don't have all the answers to that. But as for that, this has to be some super sophisticated thing. First of all, Tyler Robinson got away. So yeah, for us to pretend like from the scene, and that is not necessarily the easiest thing ever to do. Clean infill, clean exfil, takes the shot, kills the killer, gets out. And the only reason he gets caught is, you know, because the family friend, Boy Scout leader, fellow sheriff, recognizes him in a picture and convinces Tyler Robinson to turn himself in. And so that's later. So, yeah, it is a little bit sophisticated to pull off an assassination like this.
I would disagree with that. That's not actually what happened, according to the charging documents, according to the only person
according to Sheriff Nate Broxby, who, by the way, Gary, I'm sure you're aware, just resigned from his position about 2 hours after this news story.
I was about
to say,
what's that resignation all about?
Bad. Hold on. You can go back and pull up Nate Broxby literally saying on film in a press conference, debunking Tyler Robinson's family from turning himself in and saying, my personal friend, who used to be a sheriff for 20 years, was the one who used to be Tyler Robinson's Boy Scout leader, recognized him from the picture. He's the one that contacted the family. He's the one that went over to Tyler Robinson's house and convinced Tyler Robinson to turn himself in. The sheriff said that. The same sheriff, Sheriff Nate Brooksby, who was in charge of this whole thing, who has now just resigned yesterday.
Well, they're going to have a real problem when they get the parents on the stand, if that's the case, because I'm just going to...
He said that in a press conference, Gary. That was the sheriff. That's from the sheriff's department.
What I'm saying is that what we have in the charging documents is that Robinson's father reported that when his wife showed him...
Right, but the charging documents were put out before this press conference.
Okay.
Charging documents were put out, like, what, 6 days after?
I mean, both things can be true is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying that sheriff said that's not, that his parents did not turn him in. It was this sheriff's personal friend, who was a sheriff for 20 years, I forget his name, who was the one that recognized him from being Tyler Robinson's Boy Scout leader. And he's the one that contacted the family. He's the one that went over and convinced Tyler Robinson, it's better for you to turn yourself in than for them
set. That's actually, and that portion is stated in the charging documents. What I'm saying is that two things can absolutely be true. I do think that he helped with coordinating him being turned in. I think all that's true, but I reject the idea that his parents didn't recognize him. I reject the idea.
What's your thoughts real quick? Because, I mean, you got to be able to explain this. Why would the head sheriff on part of the investigation resign about 2 hours after the report came out that the ballistics don't match the ATF? That's two.
I have no idea.
The coincidence on that?
I have no idea. He may have a completely logical explanation. What I'm not going to do is take a void of information and just fill it with whatever I want to. I mean,
I'm just saying you can't tell me that's not bizarre.
It is bizarre. A lot of things about this have been bizarre.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's true.
Like a 30-odd-6 not shooting through somebody's neck.
I mean, look, it is. Look, I think there's some very good plausible explanations for that, and we're going to find out. I think we're going to find out when, to me, this is resting on all the things being alleged are essentially going to be answered once we get the parents on the stand, as far as I'm concerned, because they're going to confirm.
Okay, we'll see. Let's shift gears now. We have left. It's been an amazing interview. Only like 30 minutes left. Both of you, Gary Taggart or Nate Taggart here, what do you make of Trump and Iran? And we've had victory. Oh, they're making a deal. They're not. Just constant, you know, stories changing. No missiles are hitting Israel. Tons are getting through. They arrested thousands of journalists in the Middle East reporting on it. What do you guys as warfighters think of this situation?
Want me to go first here? Me personally, I'm just super ideologically against any more wars for American blood for sand and oil, period. Just full stop. There's nothing you can tell me that's going to convince me that we need to be spending hundreds of billions of dollars and spending U.S. service members' lives for this war in Iran. You're not going to convince me of that. And you're not going to convince the majority of the American people of that. The other thing, and I think this is just in my personal opinion, I'm not going to get into, people are talking about who's winning. The United States winning? Is Iran winning? Who's winning? To me, everybody's losing. And the world's losing. Iran's losing. The United States is losing. If it means Donald Trump just comes out, declares victory, leaves. If we do that, I think it's going to be a huge problem now with the Strait of Hormuz, because Iran most likely is just going to have full control over the strait now. And if you didn't know, they're charging $2 million per oil tanker to get through the strait right now. If you don't know what that's going to equate to year over year, it's $80 billion in new revenue to Iran that they didn't have beforehand. And if you don't know about Iran's national defense budget, is only $10 billion. So we're about to, what, just 8x their defense budget for new money? And then also the global oil prices, global oil commodities aren't coming back down if we just leave. So we're in a rock and a hard place.
And Trump says he may just leave it to the Middle East to fix.
And which they're not going to be able to fix. All they're going to do is this is just going to drive everybody to bricks. If you think about all our Asian allies, this is another thing that pisses me off. All our Asian allies, this isn't affecting us nearly as much as it is Australia. And now it's in first group, Philippines and Australia and Korea and Japan. And it's not China, right? Because China's still free-flowing the oil. I mean, we already have... The Philippines just announced that they're going into massive restrictions, lockdowns on oil. Australia is announcing that as well. So we're screwing the entire world. We're screwing all of our allies. And for me, again, I think this is an everybody is losing. So let's figure it out and get the hell out of this thing. Because to me, there's no strategic end state here.
They want a world depression.
Right. There is some winners, but it's not the American people. And it's not the average people around the world, I can tell
well,
you
like
that.
COVID, the globalists doubled their money while we lost 60% of our assets. Your take on that, Gary?
Yeah, look, I support the war as long as it's going to be executed correctly. I think we've kicked this can way too far down the road. I think this is a responsible approach to what's going on. We're going to see how it turns out. What I am against, just like Nate and everybody else, is, you know, some unending war where it's going to be an occupation. We're not going to see that. I don't think we're going to see that. But the idea that we can just continue to let Iran be the number one state sponsored of terror all over the world and allow them to become armed with nuclear weapons. I mean, we already see that they actually had a much more advanced intermediate ballistic missiles than they admitted to and that we even knew about. So there was an information gap, an intelligence gap that was huge in that.
No, I know they're way more advanced than they were telling them, but let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
What about the overall issue of the strait being closed kills the recovery with an inflation? That's mathematics. That's a guarantee. And then the globalists get what they want by that failure. So we have to think about economic warfare.
Sure. And we cannot allow Iran to control the Strait of Hormuz. And I don't think we're going to see that. Like, again, we already have allies coming on to help control that. We've already talked to Trump administration's talked to Japan. He's talked to the French, multiple allies that says they're going to continue to help actually control the Strait of Hormuz. Now,
they have not agreed to that.
They've
in fact, not only that, France and Spain just came out and said that they're actually going to put restrictions on allowing U.S. to use any of their land for anything militarily. That was yesterday.
I'm sorry, you cut out. Who did you say?
France and Spain
both. Spain's our military completely out. France is trying to leave NATO.
They're not coming to help.
Yeah, we're gonna have additional support. There's no doubt about it.
And what is that additional support going to do? The United States Navy is the most powerful Navy in the world, and we can't do anything. How are you going to stop Iran's drones from hitting oil tankers?
You don't think that we're going to be able to control the Strait of Hormuz with our Navy?
We can't do it right now.
Yes, we can. I mean, it's not going to stop them from attacking, and we're not going to have some sort of non-issues.
There's no oil. There's no Western oil tankers flowing out of the Strait of Hormuz, bro. None.
What's
still.
That?
That's why you can go down to the local gas station, look up, and see that gas is $5 to $8 a gallon.
No. There are oil tankers going through the Strait of Hormuz right now. It is.
Well, China and Russia and Iran and India, when they're paying for it in Chinese yuan and paying a $2 million toll per oil tanker there is.
No, that's factually wrong.
Well, then why is gas nationally almost $5 a gallon, Gary?
We're at like, what, $100 a barrel right now? We were at like $140 a barrel under Biden. We were having higher gas prices.
We're not talking about Joe Biden. We're still early into the war. Oil can still go much higher. Almost double.
This whole thing could go to hell. I mean, we could look at the worst case scenario every single time, and we can always
headed that way.
What's that?
So what's your end state here? What's the strategic? Here's another thing. I'm a little bit confused because you said Iran is the world's leader in state-sponsored terrorism. Since when is Shia Islam? Since when is Shia Islam carried out the majority of terrorist attacks in the world? Because we both know Sunni Islam.
What are you talking about? Hezbollah, we got Hamas. Those are all Iranian proxies. What do you even mean? And we had all throughout the Iraq.
How is that? Is that the world's leader in state-sponsored ISIS has carried out, and Al Qaeda have carried out infinitely more terrorist attacks than Iran.
Like the IRGC is designated as a terrorist organization. We know that
by the United States. Just like all the rest are. My point is, since this is like Fox News talking points, right? Like, ooh, Iran is 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon for 47 years. They're the biggest threat ever. It's like, yeah, okay. All right, like, but they're not in any bigger threat than anybody else. And I'll also say this. You see this all the time. It's like, well, we got to take care of this problem. Okay, Al Jilani is the leader of Syria right now and is a welcome guest in the White House. Why are we pretending like things in the past through terrorists are now, we have to invade your country for it?
We're not invading the country.
Doesn't that kind of just throw the whole argument out the window when Donald Trump's bringing Al Jilani into the White House as an honored guest?
We have strikes.
Let's be clear. You guys can't debate. Gary, Nate, there's no debate. They tried to sell ground invasion the last 2 weeks. Like that's insane. It's been going on.
I agree with that.
Let me ask you guys this question. How do we even know the 1,000 pounds of enriched uranium is anywhere? I know we can track some of it. the idea, I've heard a lot of former and current people, they're saying, yeah, it's super risky, but we're willing to do it if they tell us to. How insane is it to try to claim you're going to send special ops in with technicians to try to get stuff with forklifts out of these bases? What do you make of that?
Well, I mean,
in the middle of Iran, I make that everybody's going to die if they try that.
Now, first of all, our capabilities are much better than that, Nate. You know that as well as I do. Like,
yeah, we can't support. I get it, but it's still.
I'm not even saying I support it. But what I'm saying is, we can't do that safely.
Gary, I'm sure you know what it takes. I mean, we do training for this and trying to infiltrate underground bunkers. It's one of the most dangerous things that you can do in special operations. And now you're going to do it in Iran.
This dangerous?
In the center of Iran.
Well, it's not in the center of Iran. It's up by Fordo, as far as I understand, where they actually have the
400 kilometers. Yeah, they know where it is.
The media has told them where you're coming. The media is also, they know where you're coming.
Yeah. A lot of these arguments were made about Venezuela as well. Like, we can't go do that.
Venezuela is not Iran. You're trying to pretend that Iran's military and Venezuela's military.
But we know they paid off most everybody but the Cubans they had to kill. I mean, I agree that was an incredible operation, but that's a cakewalk compared to going to deep underground bases.
Yeah. Just geographic.
You don't think that we can pay off most of the Iranians? You don't think that we have intelligence networks that are actually making deals right now? And again, this is like a little bit of extremely.
Listen, if you've got the intelligence network, then throw the goddamn government over.
I'm with you. I think that's exactly what they should do. But again, what
we're
saying
to do
is
in Venezuela, and I hope Cuba. I would support Venezuela because I could study it. This is a whole different. Venezuela is like eating a pig versus an elephant. It's a whole different ball of wax.
I don't disagree.
What's the strategic victory for the United States here?
That Iran cannot have nuclear weapons. Like that is whatever happens beyond that, they cannot have nuclear weapons.
We already destroyed all their nuclear weapons 6 months ago.
June that Midnight Hammer was done.
Completely obliterated everything.
And they're continuing to develop nuclear weapons.
Gary, you're saying we have to do this every 9 months for perpetuity forever now.
What I'm saying is exactly like if you're gonna have peace through strength, sometimes you got to drop some bombs. What I am confused about is like, are we just going to just completely draw in and just not address any of the world issues?
Well, I don't think anybody thinks we're drawing in under Trump. I'm concerned we're overextending.
Why do we need to be fighting this war in Iran? Nobody's been able to correctly, other than your typical Fox News. They can't have nukes. They're the world's leader in state-sponsored terrorism. They've been trying to kill Americans for 47 years. Yada yada yada. Got it. Okay, what we've seen.
If we're going to characterize that, then you're actually going with the MSN Now talking points. Like, we can't do anything. Trump can't do anything. Like, it's just going to be the worst.
So here's the thing. Here's the big misconception we're having. So Gary thinks a conventional war is going to work in Iran while Iran is leveraging asymmetric warfare against us. Okay? As a Green Beret, you know what they're doing.
Yeah, Trump thinks blowing up targets Hold on.
Yeah. The idea that you're going to bomb Shia Islam into submission, the same people culturally who are willing to strap suicide vests and jump in a vehicle board, IED, and blow themselves up and kill them, you're going to bomb them into submission, a culture that believes heavily in martyrdom after you slaughtered the Ayatollah, killed 200 little elementary school girls.
You guys are
girls.
Welcome to come back tomorrow on Harrison. This is amazing. But I want to give Gary Melton closing comments and Harrison Smith takes over. Go ahead, Gary.
I mean, the idea that we're going to rely completely on conventional warfare and that we're not going to use asymmetrical warfare at all is crazy to me. That's not what's being discussed at DOD. And we don't know what asymmetrical warfare that we're conducting. We have plans.
Iran's asymmetric warfare they're conducting against
us. Well, if the payoffs work, they should already work. Go ahead. Finish up. Close your comment. Let him have
the point. I'm just saying, look, at the end of the day, one of the things that I supported Trump on it, and something like 90% plus of MAGA and Trump voters are still supporting this war. And the reason is because Trump ran on the fact that Iran is not going to have a nuclear weapon. He's been saying it for the last 40 years. I agree with that. I think us investing in taking Iran out now ensures that we don't have a forever war with a nuclear-armed Iran in 10 years.
Oh, no, I agree. If we could take them out, that shuts down Russia and China, but I don't think it's going to work. Gentlemen, both, thank you so much. Valhalla, VFT. You got a Paramount Tactical. Thank you so much, Harrison Smith. Thanks for sharing a real debate. God bless you, man. We'll be right back with Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylenestore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bitly to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering it. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.